This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I think people are going to show up for me the way I show up for them.
Mm-hmm.
My protecting of Issa has become turned on to me and something that people are using against me. They keep saying, you know, that I'm this mean girl on this set, that I harmed these people on this set. I just want to point out something very basic. How can I be a mean girl on a set that ain't my set? It's your show. You are my boss. I don't even have the capacity to be the mean girl here.
Right.
Because you can fire me.
Amanda Seals. I think she does express a lot of her truth, and a lot of it is valid. On the other side of that coin, she might orchestrate her own downfall in certain situations with people.
Mm.
And I don't know her whole story, but like definitely a lot of things, fucked up things have happened to her and has shaped her. I think that sometimes like when she goes through certain things as an adult, she's misreading it from a place of,
I've
been through this before. I know exactly what this
I've
is.
Seen,
like,
oh. Watching Monique Hat and Amanda Seals come through on Shay's Pod, they all to me have a very similar pattern of people who are like high linguistic ability, high social adeptness, but also high conflict. What happens is you'll have like three or four like legitimate grievances, but then that gets magnified because you can't ever admit when you're wrong. You can't ever place yourself in the shoes of somebody else. You're like surgical with your ability to articulate your own position back to yourself to rationalize whatever your view is. And so what was three or four legitimate grievances is now like 25 feuds that you have with a bunch of different fucking people across a bunch of different avenues. And
it's a red flag.
I got friends that have like kids, and bro, like especially one of them, bro, my nigga always sick, goddamn. Like
constantly.
Him and his wife always sick. They got twins, and they just be coming home from daycare, just all sorts of germs and shit.
Nah, because babies are mad disgusting. Like, the way they eat with their hands, it's always food everywhere. They don't blow their nose. It's just, it literally, every orifice is just, like, oozing biological matter. Just snot, wax, half-eaten food, shit everywhere. Like, they don't know how to eat. Yeah, just disgusting.
Yeah, they can't do nothing. They can't do nothing at
they
all
can't.
For themselves.
No. And then they're also like, they're not bedridden the way like an adult rather was like fucking oozing from all of their orifices, they kind of stay in bed vaguely. But babies oozing, and then they're just constantly interacting with each other, passing along like viruses, like their secrets, just interact. Do you want to play with me? Achoo. Do you want to play with me? Achoo. Like there's just
I got shit for you. I got some good shit for you.
I got something that you'd like to hear.
Baba. Right. Oh my God. It's like when word gets through, like passed along through the grapevine or whatever.
Mm.
Or it starts out one way. Like it could just be like a little cold, but by the time it gets to like the end recipient, it's full blown syphilis.
It's HIV.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's fucking like you're fucked. You're screwed.
Baby's probably invented HIV. One of them probably sneezed in somebody's face.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I don't know. But destroyed an entire community. It's really sad. Yeah. You hate to see it happen. You hate to see
Absolutely.
It happen. But. Anyway, welcome to Waving the Red Flag, the number one dating and baby pandemic podcast in the universe. It's your boy Eddie. It's Josh. What's Alvin away doing? What's Alvin up to?
Alvin,
why is he away?
You didn't get the notice? You didn't get the memo?
Oh, no. Do you know?
Yeah.
What's up?
He said he texted us in the group chat what he was doing.
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
Oh, shit. Okay, so basically, Alvin is actually in Mexico, goddamn, uncovering ancient truths about ancient Mayan technology and pyramids.
Ancient aliens. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know what?
But the Mayans, you feel me? Like, you know what I'm saying? He's doing like a deep, deep, deep research into their philosophical, you know, social and religious views and why they would actually sacrifice humans to the gods and kick them down the whole fucking pyramid and let, like, you know, the people, like, you know, touch on their bodies and shit. Like
is he trying to figure out if there's some benefits to that he can capitalize on? He's trying to figure out how to make money off human sacrifice type shit, or
legally and immorally. Legally,
yes,
and morally.
Legally, yeah.
You know,
he's trying to figure out how to make it scalable.
It's like AI. It's like AI.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Scalable AI. That's what he's doing with
scalable AI. Okay. Mm-hmm.
We got to make sacrifices to the gods every now and then. And Alvin is trying to figure out a moral and ethical way to do that.
Got to spend souls to make souls, or whatever mm-hmm. they say. Anyway, what's going on in the world right now? What do we want to talk about?
I was going to say, since we were talking about babies, I have been considering like having kids lately, or having a kid lately, like a lot more.
Lately? Like how recent is lately?
In the past 2 months, maybe. Past 2 months.
Okay.
So I mean like very lately. Like,
yeah, you know, no, that is very recent. Things,
you know what I mean? Because like you fucked my head up like on a podcast a year or so ago, like when we were talking. It's just like, oh man, having babies is just so unethical. No one gave the consent. And I'm like, shit, what the fuck? That's the dumbest shit I ever heard. Well, wait a minute. I ain't asked to fucking be here.
You started doing the math on it.
Am I perpetuating the cycle?
My brother, the intergenerational trauma starts with generating generations. That's where the trauma comes from.
Shit, that's what I'm saying. And I was doing the science with you. Like, you had me doing the science.
People not thinking it through. But at the same time, what else I'm finna do? I'm around, so let's just have some babies. Like, fuck you know what I'm saying?
Right. I know I can give love to my little human. And I know I'd be a good dad. So, plus, what the fuck I'm gonna do when I get old? I'm just gonna be old and fucking lonely and crusty.
Yeah, man. It's like a Ponzi scheme, bro. Like, you just gotta get more people in on it so that you can keep, you know.
Exactly.
And, look, I think half of my point about it being about my kind of neonatalist, like it's not ethical to have children kind of views, is that since it is unethical, as a parent, you got to recognize that you basically owe your life to making this person happy or fulfilled. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what my view is. Kind of like, look, it's bad. We're going to keep doing it. You're going to keep doing it anyway. So what you should be focused on as a parent is paying that debt back. If that makes sense.
I get that. Yeah, because like for one, I don't know, having kids can be extremely beneficial in the way in which that it can instill discipline in a person and make them change for the better. Because it'd be people like who some straight up hoes be in the streets and they have a kid and slow their ass the fuck down. But it also like just make you like have a different perspective on life, because it's not about you. You have someone that you're responsible for, like that you got to take care of. Like, and I mean really fucking take care of. And you can't get away from that unless, you know, you do some extreme kind of stuff, or, you know, even adoption, whatever. It can definitely be, it's probably the best gift of responsibility. I'll frame it like that.
I feel like you could just start a small business, though, if I'm being honest.
A business don't love you. Like, it's like a baby is like a dog.
Well, that's a different thing.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not like a dog, but like it's something that gives back. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel love. Like, when your child smiles at you.
True,
first time, they look in your eyes and like, I see you, you see me, I'm smiling at you. It's like, oh my God, like a business can't do that for you.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, but I take your point. Like, it's definitely a combination of like, it. You know how they say builds character. It builds character. It can make you more patient. It can make you rethink shit that you hadn't thought of before. It's a new skill, and it's someone you can give and exchange love with. So I get it. It's kind of, I mean, like relationships are kind of that way as well, I think. Before I say anything else, tell me more about your like. What made you want to start having a baby, or thinking about it, I should say, and like
definitely like more open to it for sure. Because I was like, even in dating, I was like, hey, this is where I'm at. I'm not even sure if I want kids. Not sure. Not saying I don't, but I definitely said I don't want.
Yeah, if you're sure, we probably shouldn't date.
Yeah, exactly. If that's what you want, then not me. I'm not ready for that.
Sayonara.
But like the thing about it, when I started thinking about like, bro, I'm getting older, and it's like, do I really want to miss out on that? And having those moments, and then like I see dads with their kids who are like teenagers now, and they have like such a close bond. And I know like the work that went into it. And then I see like some of my friends who have kids, and like, you know, I see like they bond or whatever. But then also my little nephew, probably about like 4 years old, and on my birthday that just passed not long ago, he sent my sister sent me like a video of him wishing me happy birthday, like, and he always calls me Uncle Das, like, yeah, happy birthday Uncle Das. Like, we love you Uncle Das. I was like, oh god damn,
right there, right
all
there,
up in there, all up in there, god. Oh.
My feelings like a gut punch. No, children are fantastic, and they're sweet in that way, and they're,
it can be.
That's like, because that book that's I recommended to you a while back, The Course of Love, or maybe it was an essay on love, but just the way that he talks about what a child is and what their experience of it is, and why the love towards them and from them is so special, is because they require us, because they need us, and because they can't offer us anything in return. It's this much kind of like pure, like, all not painful, but almost like it's like intense kind of a love, where it's like, oh shit, like, you need me and I want to help you. You can't give me shit. It's not like romance where there's a back and forth. It's like, I'm just here to help you out. You want to learn about what the fuck the numbers are and shapes and shit are? I got you.
And that's, that's the purest essence of unconditional love.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the love between like a parent has for their child and a child has for their parent. You know, if the parent is good, you know, but sometimes you just don't know what kind of dice you're rolling when you got a baby. Because sometimes your baby, your kid, could just be a fucking demon. Okay, I don't fucking know.
It's some evil babies. I feel like you've met. I feel like you've met a oddly high number of evil babies. Just the way you sometimes talk about like babies that you've known.
I don't mean babies, but like souls that inhabit bodies in that sense. Like when they grow up. you ain't following me, because you not following me, bro. You ain't doing the math.
Okay, maybe I'm not. No, what you said was hilarious, but please explain, because it sounded like you was just like, look. Who I met, them wasn't humans. They was in the form of a child. But let's be clear.
Okay.
They was possessed, my friend.
This nigga was just possessed. Nah, I mean, like, no, because, like, sometimes.
Oh, that wasn't a baby that I met. It looked like one. That wasn't a baby.
No, that was a goddamn homunculus, okay?
Yeah, that was a Beelzebub.
Right. No, okay. So what I mean is, like, it's funny because, like, a person that each and every single person is their own individual, and there are some traits and some things about you that will never change. I have always been the same since you were like adolescent, super young. And what I mean is some people are just generally really just not good fucking people. It's not even like a nature versus nurture thing. It's just like sometimes you might have a natural proclivity towards some evil shit. Cruelty. It's like we can look at a kid and like, yo, he ain't right. Or like something is not right about how they like process things. Like, we try to help because I'm not your enemy, young baby. I'm trying to, you know, but like.
I just imagine you squaring up with a baby like, I don't want no trouble, baby.
Yo,
but
what the fuck?
Are you good?
And mind you, like, I don't mean like a literal baby, but it could be like adolescence.
Yeah.
Things when you like you know, a child, kinda, you know, and then growing up. And then it's like, okay, this has not changed. And that's not to say that that's not a function of nature and nurture, because like, hey, the household could be fucked up. Something might have happened to him. Da, 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 da. I get all that. But what I'm saying is sometimes when I say like, you know, the lottery of the human that you receive that comes out of that vagina.
Might be wild.
Might be fucking wild, and you can't do nothing about it.
You might get a stinker. I mean, look, sometimes we got to talk about Kevin. It happens. Like, I don't feel like I've ever met a child or a baby that I was like, yo, this motherfucker is evil. So it's interesting that you've met, like, any or multiple. I just find that hilarious.
But, I wouldn't necessarily say evil, but it's just like, yo, something is off. Like, you know, yeah.
Because I feel like I meet a lot of adults that are off. And sometimes I'm like, I kind of start to second guess myself, because I'm like, like my vibe detector is like a little bit skewed towards like, something's off, like sometimes a little bit too soon. Mm-hmm. But then again, a lot of times the shit be kind of right too. I don't know. So.
I mean, that's what your intuition is for, you know?
Yo, by the way.
It is. What's up?
Yeah. Well, I was going to a different topic, but like, unless you got more baby shit.
No, let's go.
Did you see that that Amanda Seals interview
with Uncle Shay?
Shay? Yeah.
With Shannon Sharp. I didn't see the whole thing, but I saw clips.
You saw clips and stuff.
Yeah. I just find it interesting how two people can receive backlash for like different reasons from the same episode.
Oh, because, okay. Interesting.
Because Amanda Seals, and I definitely like kind of felt like the people who were sympathizing with Amanda Seals on this, like it was things like you could tell like Shannon Sharp already had like an image of her and how he was going to conduct the interview, like an agenda in mind, yeah. At least in some way. When he was asking some questions and how he was conducting the interview and like how he would respond when she responded, and it just seemed combative.
Yeah, and, I don't disagree.
Yeah, and even when you know, Shannon Sharp asked her, how was it being biracial? Like, you know, because your mom's white. And she was like, no, my mom's not white. She's from the island. I was like, what the fuck? Like, no, she's not white. Anyway, but she married a white man. No, the fuck she didn't. Anyway, and they just moved right along. Like, didn't say, oh, my fault. Like, I didn't realize this information was wrong. Like, he just
said a wrong fact and then followed up with another wrong fact.
It kept going, bro. This nigga went down the list of, like, possible topics and, like, wasn't even trying to hear this woman.
Mm.
And on the other end, I think, Amanda Seals, I think she does express in a lot of her truth, and a lot of it is valid. And then the same token, like on the other side of that coin, I think that she might orchestrate her own downfall in certain situations with people.
Mm.
Because like I feel like she's been scarred and hurt. Like things have happened to her, and I don't know her whole story, but like definitely a lot of things, fucked up things have happened to her, and has shaped her like identity in some sense, and like the way she views and perceives some, you know, situations and people. And I think that sometimes like when she goes through certain things as an adult, she's misreading it from a place of like mental schemas.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I've
yeah.
been through this before. I know exactly what this I've is seen, like. Oh, yeah.
You're this I didn't type mean of person.
Yeah, so I think that she gets a lot of heat from like stuff like that.
See, okay, I agree. I think Shannon did a bad job on several elements of the interview, and just came across as combative, dismissive, gaslighting for no reason. Like he just came in going, Amanda's gonna be on some bullshit, and I have to figure out how to gently like invalidate everything that she says.
Mm.
And before I say this shit, like Amanda, if you fuck with the podcast, we want to have you come through because I see
it's no hate Aluminati
and or Oli Emmy's like thing. So, but I think that the problem that I see, and it's one that I have myself, but watching Monique, Hat, and Amanda Seals come through on Shay's pod, they all to me have a very similar pattern of people who are like high linguistic ability.
Mm-hmm.
High social adeptness, but also high conflict. And so when you have that combination of things and you maybe go through any amount of trauma, which pretty much it just if you're black, you're going to have that from jump, especially if you're going into any kind of like powerful space. So tech, Hollywood, whatever, you're going to have some trauma from that because there are going to be people who are treating you crazy. But what happens is you'll have like three or four like legitimate grievances in your life or in a situation or in a thing, but then that gets magnified because you can't ever admit when you're wrong. You can't ever place yourself in the shoes of somebody else. You're like surgical with your ability to articulate your own position back to yourself to rationalize whatever your view is. And so what was three or four legitimate grievances is now like 25 feuds that you have with a bunch of different fucking people across a bunch of different avenues. And it's a recipe for disaster, and there's not a feedback loop for you to be like, okay, look, maybe I did experience racism here, but a coworker telling me that they don't want me to call him a nigga maybe isn't that. Maybe that's not part of this problem over here, and maybe I was a little bit tripping. And I think that listening to all three of their interviews, it was very much like, I'm going to speak my truth because I'm divine and I'm special, and people always trying to put me down and other people in the industry don't get it, da, 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 da. And I'm like... You can kind of use that viewpoint to just rationalize anything.
There's a lot of things, but yeah, and again, I don't, and I do believe like she definitely has been through some shit to make her have a view of that point. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're always right in your view of things, or your perception is always right. because there's so many, it's not even just about Amanda Seals, but there's so many people who just out of, like, especially like, you know, sometimes like when you're black, like you, we do have like an easy just race card that we can pull like anytime something goes wrong with our lives that might involve like a white person. You can always say, oh, it could be because I'm black. Like, I ain't get the job because I'm black. I was up against a white dude. You know how they get down. It's like, nigga, like, you was unprofessional as fuck in the interview. Like, you was using goddamn street lingo. Like, you was saying, all right, bet. It's like, I don't know. Like, it'd be like shit like that.
That's it. And okay, I don't want to derail your shit, but I feel like that is racism. But go ahead.
I mean, okay, well, that might not
I have get
been
your larger
example,
point.
But it's just the thing of, it's like, hey, in terms of operating in a larger society wouldn't, in fact, like, it might not even have nothing to do with your race. It was just the other person was just more qualified. But
yeah, they have a PhD. But, you got like, a GED.
Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like, yo, no, it doesn't have anything to do with the color of your skin. Motherfucker, we need some more color around this motherfucker because they have been on our ass about,
we're trying.
You know, inclusion and da 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 da.
Yeah.
DEE?
Yeah,
diversity
and
inclusion.
DEI?
Yeah, something DUI? Like DEI, like that, DEI, yeah. Something like that, diversity, inclusion, yeah. And some shit. But yeah, so, but, and again, this is not to, and just to be clear, this is not to downplay actual racism and the things that we as black people, especially, you know, not even especially black men, but black women, black queer everybody. Folks, black, da-da-da, yeah. Every fucking body, any goddamn minority go through it. I'm not trying to downplay it, but it's just, sometimes, it's not what the fuck you think it is, and just because you think something does not mean you're right. That's my point.
And I will, because I think there's a certain set of folks who really see themselves as some of the shit that Amanda was saying. There's like this philosophy, which is other people are always trying to like dim my light. And people who are coming at me are kind of categorized in, they are either friends who hold me down or they're haters. And I feel like that philosophy is not a mature one, and it's not one that really works in real life when you're trying to maintain and foster healthy relationships, because you can just use it to turn anybody who has any legitimate grievance with you into a hater, into your enemy, into somebody who's trying to block your shine. You like anybody can use that to rationalize any fucking thing when they're dead ass wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they just haters. They're just trying to block my. It's like if everybody's trying to block your shine, but they're not trying to block anybody other people's shine. Maybe you're reading into some of these situations wrong. Again, not necessarily all of them. And that's where I think the shit becomes difficult. But it's once that's the only way you can view any conflict is, does this person support me or are they trying to shrink me? You can't. You can never resolve any real conflict because you've eliminated a whole very likely third possibility, which is that they have a direct issue with my behavior, which may or may not be legitimate and needs to be assessed. But you just thrown that in the trash can. Are they enemy or are they friend? And it's like, that doesn't work.
Yeah, right. It's not black and white, goddammit. Like, there's things that you are completely unaware of that happened. But Amanda, much love to you, queen, because I respect you for goddamn speaking your truth and standing on the shit.
Come through.
Do I always agree? No, but who the fuck am I? Like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, sometimes I get you. Like, yo, as a goddamn black woman, you know what I mean? Hey, quick question.
Yes.
Have you seen any of that shit from the Gerard Carmichael documentary or whatever?
It hasn't really been on my radar. Like, I've seen people saying that, like, you know, it's doing rounds, but I haven't seen anything about it. Pull something up and tell me about it if you think.
Bro, if I can, let me do this one because, man, bro, I want to show you this clip, bro. This. You thought that Tyler, the Creator shit was difficult to watch? And he gave like some context to it, but he was like, yo, nah, like, that was just the first episode. Keep watching. It gets wilder. And that motherfucker was not lying. It's like, why would you put this out?
It's like, from what I can tell, it's performance art. Because it's like, if you as the artist can kind of open a wound into yourself and then let the world see it, that's a very particular style of art creation.
That's true. But man, like, at what cost?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wonder if he's considered this fully. Because a lot of artists do that kind of shit. A lot of performance artists and shit do that kind of stuff where they literally... fuck, everybody who does reality TV is basically doing that as well. Where you're like, look, my art is letting people in on things that are usually kept extremely private. Here's my... here's what my puberty experience was. Here's what my sex life is like. Here's what my insecurities are. Here's my heartbreak. I'm going to take what's the old girl's name? Marina Abramovich did, where like her and her partner that she, like when they broke up with each other, these motherfuckers got on like the bridge of China. What's that shit called? The Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
And like looked at each other in the eyes and then just turned around. They recorded all this, turned around, and then just walked in opposite directions and never saw each other again for 25 years. And that was the piece.
What?
And that was how they broke up. And then they came back.
I don't know if I can live
together.
With that.
Say again?
So I don't know if I can live with that. That's, yeah. That's some dramatic shit.
That's some dramatic shit, right? But that's her art. And then like 25, 30 years later, when they, then yeah, 25, 30 years later, they're in their 50s, 60s. They came back for a performance art piece, and their teams must have organized it because they were like, this was the first time they were physically seeing each other in that entire time. And they sat them all down. They sat the both of them down at a table in an all white room with like, you know, artsy audience all around them. And they just stared at each other for like an hour and a half. Smiles and crying and all that type of shit, and just didn't say anything, and then peaced out, and that was the piece. And I'm like, yeah, that's, some people just do that type of shit.
Yeah.
So I think that's what Gerard is kind of doing. Like, here's, I'm just gonna give you
everything.
All my pain. Yeah, everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get it, but it's like, god damn, bro. Like, this is tough to watch.
I couldn't do it. I don't think. Well, then again, maybe at a certain point in life, I could.
Right. I know. All right, bet. Yeah, I got it now. Hold on. Let me give some context before we start. Okay. So, Gerard Carmichael's dad was kind of like one of them, like, Rolling Stone dads. Like, you know, he had had sex with, like, multiple women, got kids a little bit all over the place.
Mm.
And, you know, it's caused some trauma, and like, I guess maybe how he like handles communication, their relationships, things like that. They have, you know, him and his dad do have like a relationship, and they have talked after this.
Mm.
As he's discussed like on the Breakfast Club, and Gerard Carmichael was like, man, shit, I mean, cool. Like, nigga, that's just my way of how I want to do it. Like,
yeah,
I did X, Y, and Z, but yeah, here we go. Let's press play.
Don't criticize how I come if you weren't going to say anything. You aren't going to do shit. I actually am doing something. Your option is no option. So don't criticize the way I do it. If the cameras help me, then they fucking help. But your way is nothing. Your way is silence. Your way is death. I'm not doing that. I'm being a man. I'm stepping up. I'm actually saying the things. These are your children and your grandchildren. These aren't my kids. I didn't fuck nobody. I ain't have no kids outside of my marriage. I didn't do that.
I feel so bad for his father.
Really, really hard.
This is insane.
You thought he was dying in that Tyler clip? Nah, this is the face of death on a man.
I don't know who this man's therapist is, but he needs another one.
And so however I do it, I'm doing it. But you weren't going to do it.
It's not funny, but goddamn.
He done roasted this man to death. He said, I didn't fuck up.
Conversation with his father elsewhere.
But it's sad, bro. Watch what he say, man.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You'll say the mouth full, son. You can express yourself. You can say what you want to say. You can do what you want to do.
This is so sad.
Can I go home?
This is so sad. Look at that man's face.
The face of just, oh, like, How do you feel about that?
Me?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know.
Since you don't have all the context behind.
Yeah, I don't have. It's so much context that I don't have, but I'm kind of like, just based off what Gerard was saying, and he was like, my first impulse is, no, nigga, you can't go home. Sorry, fuck
no,
me.
That's, nigga, this you can't you gotta, go home.
You got to stay here and take your licks. Like, yeah. you can't create a whole situation, a whole life, and then be mad and play the victim when somebody, you know, calls you up on it. And I think it's very easy for us to kind of look at the situation and be like, oh, Gerard Carmichael, super wealthy, famous, you know, multimillionaire with the camera crew and all the power in this situation versus this, you know, poor little old man who just wants to go home and doesn't have the words to articulate this scenario, da 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 da. It's like, yeah, because that's the point in time where this interaction happened. But if you move the dial back through time, there's a time where it was a little gay boy who didn't have, you know, nobody in his corner. And that's when these interactions should have been happening. So, yeah, now it happens when, you know what, there was this movie. I forget what this movie was. I've tried to find it. I want to say it was maybe Ving Rhames or something like this. You tell me if you know this movie.
Holiday Heart?
No, it wasn't Holiday Heart, I don't think. Oh, well, let me tell you. So, basically, this dude went and found his dad after like some years or some shit, and the son had become like a hardened gangster. He found his dad, like, beat his ass with a 2x4, threw him in a trunk and set him on fire. I don't know. I don't remember what the rest of the movie, this movie was, but I want to say the gangster was
definitely not Holiday Heart.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't seen Holiday Heart, but
okay.
I know the general gist of, like, it was like a trans woman and like her love affair or some shit.
Yeah.
But something about that was like, okay, this reminds me of that scene of like, okay, you created this person who has now become like a kind of a man on a mission to interact with you a certain type of way. And now you having to deal with like getting talked to kind of harsh. And now you're talking about some, can I go home? Like, yeah. But again, it's a whole bunch of context. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, is he paying the debt? Cause why? Cause and the dad also didn't seem like he was all there. If that makes sense. Like, he didn't seem fully like articulate or lucid to me.
Oh, so no. Bro, like, he was mortified. Like, he's not like senile and shit. Like, he's all the way there, but having this conversation with this production crew around.
Yeah.
And him, you know, like, you know, being an old school nigga. He never would have imagined this shit would have happened. Like, so just being in that light and having one of the most difficult conversations and being forced to own up to like the shit that you've done, like your past coming back in this way in shape and form, because like this is how your gay son feels the most comfortable doing this for the world to see. Like, that was like, you thought Gerard Carmichael was dying when Tyler the Creator rejected him. Nah, he got it.
It runs
his
in
daddy.
The family.
Bro,
it
like
runs
he
in
was
the family.
Yeah.
They die in that family.
Bro.
Go home.
Man.
Because that,
yeah.
But also, that looked like they cut it together like that. Intentionally, I mean, like, to create that.
I mean, so, like, yeah. But you can't, I mean, of course they cut it together, but like, if that's the raw emotion of what was going on, from what I could see,
you can make a whole different scenario.
I mean,
he might have said that in response to that might have been the end of the goddamn conversation, like, or that might have been anything, like, you know.
I doubt it.
You can make anything.
I mean, why are you so skeptical about simple shit? Like,
no, it's because because there was a cut there that was unnecessary. You should always be skeptical of a cut. When you're watching something, it's media literacy.
Bro, like, my nigga, like, okay.
I'm not saying that it's not that, but
keep in mind, I've done, like, videography, worked on movies, worked on sets, edited, just like you. But, bro, you know damn well it's literally impossible and not feasible to just run all the way through when you're producing a show.
Of
like, of course there's cuts.
Of course.
Like,
but
what
where
are you
the
talking
cut,
about?
But where the cut happened, I don't. If you don't get it, you don't get it. But like, you can literally every news channel on the planet does this. Every interview show on the planet does this. And people come back after the fact and they go, "Hey, folks who watched that interview where it seemed like I said X, Y, Z, here's the full clip, and I actually was saying the fucking opposite." Like, that's a thing that happens. That so saying that, like, editing exists doesn't discount the fact that, like, Coolsville edits exist. So I'm saying there are certain editing artifacts that you look for that distinguish between normal editing and narrative editing that changes what happens. And I'm saying in this instance, that looks like that.
Everything is narrative editing, but it's also at the same time, it's like you piece things together so it flows chronologically. I have absolutely no reason to suspect that Can I Go Home Now came after he just got his ass verbally eviscerated.
Let me ask you
in front
this
of a camera crew.
Let me ask this question, and we won't because this is maybe tedious, but like, what would you look for as an artifact to give you a reason to think that a particular edit was potentially misleading?
Position, like the position of like how people were, tone, body language, just shit like that. But but for this, like, I just don't, that makes sense. Like, it just, of course, it was, did you see, like, they had to put a long pause in there, like, when nothing was happening.
Yeah, yeah.
They probably sat there in just silence for a minute. You can't.
Look, man, when you're doing the work, I'm not saying it isn't exactly what we saw, more or less, but when you're doing that 180 cut back and forth thing, you can make it to where, you can change literally what responses are going to what, because the way that they've shot this, you can't see both people's mouths at the same time.
Of course.
Which means every single thing that the dad says in response to what Gerard Carmichael says was literally an editing choice. You have to cut those together. You can't show them simultaneously. So every single response we see is a choice that somebody made in editing.
That's
again,
I'm not
saying that it's. It is.
It's record,
a fact.
You record from different angles, so you have both these people on one audio track with two different angles, three different angles. Like, that's.
But they don't use three different angles. They use shoulder over shoulder, and they only use each of those.
I'm sorry.
Okay. But this ain't even interesting.
I'm just like, why are you like, this isn't real? Like, why are you skeptical?
I didn't say it wasn't real.
I don't know why
you seem so skeptical of my skepticism when you stay wrong with your willingness to believe everything that you see. I was wrong about the Chris Brown shit, but
and you
every
have been
other
wrong before though.
Name one other time I've been wrong.
That time a nigga got banned by accident. God damn it.
We don't know that I wasn't wrong in that situation. We literally don't know. You just made that up.
But anyway, all right, look, keep it moving. But my thing is, I feel you, because there's a lot of things that in which his dad should have been held accountable for, should be held accountable for.
Mm.
That was probably really wrong. But it's just when you see somebody like that, and it's crazy because, like, Gerard looks like the bully in this situation.
Oh, 100%. Like, 100%.
You know, it's just like, damn, bro, like, you could have had this conversation. Like, no one's not saying that you shouldn't have had this conversation, but we don't need to see this. Like, I feel bad for your father now when he was probably in the wrong. It's like, because it's adding, like, an extra element to this.
Yeah.
When you're discussing something so deep, so personal, and you can't even say everything that you might really want to say because there are third-party people that you don't know from Adam and Eve.
They work for him.
Recording you.
He owned all the cameras.
Yo, and like, right, like, so it's like, so that that's a fucking power dynamic right
there.
Oh,
yeah. He bought you the coat that you're wearing. You got y'all in matching parkas. Like,
matching yellow. But, so, yeah, I definitely get that, but and man, I ain't gonna hold you. Like, it was one time I had like a very tough conversation with my stepdad when I seen him in person, with my ex-stepdad when I seen him in person. And like, and it was weird because, like, you know, this is the man that raised me from like a little boy. And I'm grown at this point. And I'm reprimanding this adult for the fuck shit and the pain that he caused.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I'm just seeing this grown man like, just take it and just kind of just be hunched over,
shrink,
kind of like and shrink and just, you know, like, and even in that moment, like, I there was part of me that felt bad for him, but it's still like, no, like, I mean, like, well, you did X, Y, and Z, you know what I mean?
I don't know, man. To me, it's very, like, okay, I'm gonna argue with myself for a second, real quick. So one, I think sometimes you got to take your licks, right? If you jump somebody in 2020 and they come back and beat your ass in 2024, you can't be like, oh my God, I can't believe you beat me up. It's like, yo, I'm evening the score from some shit that you decided to do. And you didn't proactively come and try and apologize or make amends. So when I saw you and it was on site, you can't be like, oh, that was 4 years ago. Look, man, you decided to do what you did. So I decided to do what I'm doing now. And now we're even. That's the first part. Second part is, though, I think from the perspective of Gerard, it's like, well, what are you trying to get out of this? And I think sometimes if what you're trying to do is establish a healthy relationship, then you have to be the bigger man and be like, look, man, you behaved on some fuck shit, but I don't have to now braid you. I can hold you accountable softly because I've got all the fucking power in the world right now. Like I literally have so much money that I can uproot your life and put you on a fucking plane and fly you into the middle of nowhere in a goddamn forest with a bunch of white people recording us on cameras in front of a fire and matching parkas, which is probably some scary Illuminati like human sacrifice shit from your perspective. And you have to sit there and take whatever the fuck I say. But do I have to make it that? Or can I be like, look, I want to have this conversation? Or like, also, what Gerard said when he said, like, don't criticize how I do it if you don't want to do it at all. Yeah. And to me, that's on paper sounds good, but in real life, that's a dumbass. That's a very dumbass, like abuser logic kind of way of doing this.
Yeah.
Like to say that anything is acceptable as an alternative to someone who's not solving the problem does not make sense. Like you can rationalize any kind of fuck shit with that. And so, yeah, no, like the way that you're doing it is harmful unnecessarily.
Yeah.
Just because the other person didn't want to do it at all doesn't mean that you get to just, that anything that you could anything possibly do is right. Like,
let me just get a whole fucking camera crew together and just put this shit, like make content from it. Because honestly, like I think this is really leaving a stain on his career because it's not even just that clip.
Maybe.
It's like the Tyler shit. Oh, the public opinion is like, yo, Gerard Carmichael is, I'm not liking this. And you know how quick, people will turn the fuck on, like turn on you. But he's given them a reason and shown himself in a very bad light on multiple occasions throughout this documentary.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's another one with a wedding, like his best friend's wedding. He was the best man. The motherfucker was late. And there was so many things he could have done, but he just has this, he's just in his own world. Like, I'll come first. Oh, there's a hot dog I really want. Oh, the hot dog is the only thing on my mind. Nigga literally stopped at a hot dog stand.
Yeah.
While the wedding was starting. Showed up an hour and a half late. You're the best man, nigga. His friend ain't even talked to him since. He got an ex. He's like, hey, man, just calling you up, man. I miss you, bro. Give me a call. It's like, none of that shit had to happen.
It's definitely painting him as a toxic manipulator. Because even in the Tyler shit, I was like, you're like in these situations where you're like trying to call people out for doing you wrong, you're seeming like a fucking monster. Like you're seeming like a weirdo. Because the Tyler shit, I mean, you heard what my argument was. I think he was being a fucking weirdo. Like instead of like dealing with it like a grown ass person. And I think the same thing is happening here with the dad shit, and it's just very main character kind of thing. But
I'm like, main character
sometimes, very main character syndrome, which is not unrelated to the shit that I was saying about Amanda Seals earlier. Like, I think there's just that sense of like, sometimes you got to take a step back, count to three, count back to one, and just go, wait, what is the other person experiencing for a split second? And just stop yourself. Because you end up on a crusade. And you end up Darth Vader, you know what I'm saying? Because you maybe have a legitimate grievance. Your friend wasn't communicative enough in a situation. Your dad abandoned you, you know what I'm saying? You really wanted a hot dog. All reasonable feelings. We've all felt those before. But like, what?
I know I have.
Yeah. But what do you let that, like, what behaviors do you let that lead into?
Yeah.
Can be a problem. But honestly, with this dad shit, I don't, without any other context, I think, I don't know. Like, if you only see the retaliation, it's always going to come across wild. Because we weren't there for his childhood. So we don't know what he, like, all we see is this old man in this video. But, and so because he's old, we give him this little benefit of the doubt.
And then we
Gerard's whole,
we didn't have a lot of context in terms of, like, that clip. And of course, like, I'm pretty sure like the overall episode, the actual episode itself gave more context, but just in that clip, we don't have a lot of the things that his dad did wrong that would justify in that clip his like Gerard's behavior, because it just looks like Gerard is the bully in that situation with the power and coming down hard on, like, you know, this old, feeble, you know, elderly man.
How
many times
do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
I do love the young people.
So, look, my spider sense, my intuition, which, you know, as we've just kind of established and argued, isn't necessarily where everybody else would land, says that Gerard is not generally in the wrong in this particular clip.
Yeah, I don't think he's generally in the wrong, but man, it's just like, I don't think he's in the wrong for expressing his feelings and getting that off his chest to his father. I think that actually takes a lot of courage to do, because that is an extremely difficult conversation to have. It's just, my nigga, do we need to see it? Is this content? Because that when it becomes content, that's when it kind of gets a little.
I would like to offer an alternative there. I think that a lot of people will see their own lives in these situations. And I think that that's what an artist really does. Like, what an artist does is synthesizes their own pain or joy or happiness, and they give it to people in a way that that lets other people go, oh, I didn't know anybody ever felt this way before. I didn't know anybody ever had their heart broken like this before, or loved like this before, or wanted for something like this before. And that's kind of the gift that an artist gives. And that's kind of what Gerard is doing here, of like, because he's lightweight, and like, not to make it too lofty, but like, he's creating these open, honest situations that motherfuckers are in every day that you don't really see portrayed at this level of like depth.
Yeah.
So there's value in that.
I definitely agree with that. There is value in there. There are things that can be taken away from it, and people will like relate to it and gravitate towards. It's just that the main thing is he himself is not making himself. He's not casting himself in a good light.
Like, sometimes that's how it'd be like that.
Yeah, true. I mean, because his public perception is kind of like, yo, he might not be the best person. I'm like, a lot of niggas like, yo, I thought he was okay, he was cool, but after watching this shit, I'm like, yo, he just seems like a shitty person.
I gotta watch the whole show now, because I wouldn't have thought that even just from these few clips. But
I'll send you the clip with the wedding shit. Like,
okay,
because I mean, just the context of like that, and then that wedding shit was just egregious. Like, yeah,
no, you're a fucking dickhead.
Yeah, that was definitely some dickhead shit. But yeah, man, I think you got something to tell the people.
Oh, damn, bro. You so fucking right. I'm not even paying attention to the clock. Like, what the fuck? It's 50 minutes in this bitch. Oh, man. I'm a shitty host, man. Thank you. Fuck. I'm sitting up here arguing with you about editing and shit. Right. And lightweight, that's a goddamn red flag for real as an editor or a fucking host, man. Holy shit. But look, folks, now that I've mentioned red flags, if you want to be, you know, someone who better identifies red flags than myself, you might want a little helper, you know what I'm saying? A little prosthetic, you know what I'm saying? A little assistance, you know, a little auxiliary, you know? We've actually been in the lab, we've been cooking something up for y'all, you know what I'm saying? And we've already shipped a few of these batches of the potion out. It's a red flag card game, you know what I'm saying? Conversational card game for when you're at the pool, when you're on vacation, when you're on a plane ride, you know what I'm saying? And it's nothing to do. It's just you and your special someone, you know, flying to a new destination, and you want to kill a little bit of time, right? During the night service. You might ask yourself a question like, you know, look, is it a red flag if they are religious? And what you might say is, could be.
Maybe. What you could say, yeah, maybe.
Depends which religion. Now
depends which religion. Yo, that's crazy. That's a question we should have asked Christian.
Oh, Nate Smith. We should have. I feel like he would have said yes.
I know, right, man? I be seeing Christian goddamn going crazy every time I see Christian on Instagram.
He'd be going crazy.
Going the fucking.
And here's another thing wrong with the church. And you'd be like, you're right.
You're right. You're some shit.
Let him up. Oh, shit.
Oh, man. That's hilarious. I would say
yes. Oh, not. Yeah. So go ahead.
I would say, yeah, fuck that. Nah, yeah, nigga, I would say, yeah. But yeah, I would say no. I would say just in and of itself, no, because I too believe in a higher power.
Mm.
But
is it a green flag?
No.
Okay.
No, like if someone were just to ask me, is someone being being religious a green flag? I would say no, because one thing I don't care for is super religious people, because I find them to be like some of the most difficult people to be around, the most inauthentic people to be around, and also the most hypocritical people to be around, because it's like you have a gaze of everybody else and like, oh, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. This is a sin. God don't like this. God don't like that. I can't do X, Y, and Z.
You going to and hell.
You goddamn come home from church and you beat the cat.
Wait. Okay. I mean, I do that.
You know what I mean? Religious. I don't know.
I only believe in God, and I've been doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Shit. You beat the dog, I should say. But it's just like, so... But I do know people that's in the church heavy, you know what I'm saying? They cool people, but they don't make religion their whole fucking identity.
Well, there seems to be a very like Christian black church lean to the way that we're approaching this question, I think. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Like when you were just talking, is that who you were talking about?
No, when I was talking, I meant that in general, like because people that really have a strong, strong affinity with their religion and their version of right and wrong, and they view and criticize and judge a lot of people. They cast a lot of stones from a glass house.
Okay.
Like, you're not a good person. Like, and this is actually making you an even worse person.
Mm. I mean, look, because I would say, like, one of my early, and not to make, well, yeah, I would say that one of the early kind of speakers that I found really interesting with regard to atheism was Christopher Hitchens. And one of the things that he espoused, because he wasn't just an atheist, he was an anti-theist. His view was basically that religion is a negative force in the world. I don't know if I agree with that. But one of the things that he said was that there is no moral action that requires religion in order to accomplish. Right. So there's no behavior that you can kind of go, a person who doesn't have religion would never do this or couldn't be convinced to do this as a moral act. But there are many immoral actions that require religion in order to be able to do them, in order to be able to get an otherwise good person to commit genocide or to commit acts of rape or child abuse. It requires religion in order to convince an otherwise good person to do these kinds of things, because you've been told this is divine or these people are heathens or infidels or whatever. And I think there's something
unworthy of living. It's just,
exactly,
by God's standards, like God is placing this on us. We have a holy mission to exterminate these people.
Exactly. And religion is required for that. But there's nothing like, oh, well, but religious people, you know, feed the homeless. It's like atheist people do that too. You know, there's but atheist people, generally speaking, don't do genocides. But wasn't the Nazis atheist or like not really?
I don't think so.
Okay, maybe I'm mixing that up.
Yeah, no, I don't think the Nazis.
Maybe they were Christian.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, honestly. Yeah. Like, yeah, we need Alvin or someone more knowledgeable than I here. Because, I don't have any association with them being like atheists. But but it also wasn't like necessarily a holy crusade that comes to mind first when they was, you know, when Hitler was
They didn't have a lot of the crucifixes and shit. But all that was to say, but when I think about like really religious Hindus, really religious Sikhs, really religious Buddhists, I don't know if the same things that you're saying have been my experience.
I'm definitely speaking. Oh, you know what? You're right. I understand your earlier question now. Like when I was speaking, like, did you mean if I was speaking generally or was it just like to black Christianity? It was really more so to Christian versus like, everybody, you know, else. Hinduism, Buddhism, like that sort of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah, maybe not black Christianity specifically, but just Christianity in general. Yeah. Because I would say I've met a lot of relatively like devout Hindus and Buddhists, and they've been relatively chill. And maybe that's not true about it. I've met some Hindus that's kind of on bullshit too and a little bit annoying. But
I mean, that's like, just people, but...
Yeah, but I meant specifically in the context of like the way they perform religion or the way they expect you to, you know, participate in XYZ type shit.
Maneuver your life around there. Sorry.
Exactly. But around what they believe about the universe. But Buddhists, not so much. They've been largely pretty
chill as fuck.
Chill, yeah.
Chill as fuck. Yeah, no, because Buddhism is extremely fluid. Buddhism, when I was in Thailand last year, I had went on like this bike tour, and we went to these different temples, and our guide was telling us about it. And one of the things about Buddhism, he was saying, we have like core principles, but some of the practices, the teachings can kind of like change depending on where you're at, like where you're practicing Buddhism, because like a lot of people like migrated and took Buddhism like with them, but it was adapted to kind of like, you know, coincide with what was going on in that particular region. So not all Buddhists practice Buddhism the same at all. Mm. Like it's really a lot of it could be determined by like, you know, geographically where you're at.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, look, I would say, I don't think being religious that's a hard one, actually. I would say, regardless of if it's a red flag, being religious, like not just having a religion, but being like, if you consider yourself, I'm a religious person, is probably just a incompatibility with me.
Mm.
That's all. But I wouldn't say it's necessarily a red flag.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like the devil talking. You know what I mean? That's the devil talking in your head.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bitch, you love Jesus? Love God?
He need to be saved. Put the holy water on him.
I ain't gonna hold you though, man.
Yeah.
I got a homegirl like this too. Shout out to her. But like, you know, she like super into church, like, you know, real religiously, like real Jesus focused.
Mm-hmm.
And that low key be like a red flag to me. Like when someone's like super Jesus focused and like, do you love Jesus, do you know Jesus, and like she'll like say that shit like on first date sometimes. She'll say it jokingly, but like, nah, it's like,
that's crazy.
This is the type of time girl? I'm on. Yeah, I haven't talked to her in a while, but you know,
okay, yeah. She's been busy talking to Jesus.
Yeah, you know. but yeah so that was just like one thing I was like, I don't care for that.
Yeah, I've never been in that situation. I don't think I'm trying to think if I've ever dated anybody who, you know what? I don't think I've ever dated a devout Christian. I've dated Muslims.
I can see that.
But I don't think I've ever dated a Christian.
Oh, Muslims be tripping. Some Muslims be tripping too. Like, am I Muslim? Yeah, Muslims, yeah. And Christianity? Like, they're kind of like, you know what I mean?
But, yeah, no, yeah, you're right. But,
spiritual motherfucker. I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off.
No, you're good. All I was gonna say is just that, like, I feel like I can never really tell what's a red flag or like what's really going on, because I feel like the people that I date from any given subset,
yeah,
is biased by the fact that they want to date me. So they already are a certain type of person. If you're a Muslim and you want to date me, there's already something that makes that work to some extent, even if it doesn't work on the term, some extent, that maybe makes you not representative in general. Cause you're like, he's not Muslim. So if you're a Muslim person willing to date at any level, a non-Muslim, then that's already, there's some level of something different or more inclusive about you. Cause I'm not spiritual. I'm not none of that shit. So if you like, yeah, cool. And I'm like, I do not believe in none of this.
Let me tell you.
Then yeah.
You can get the fuck on from me with all that hell's bells. I'm well, God darn, Jesus is good. God is great type shit, all right?
Yeah.
All right.
God is good none of the time. He ain't real. So that's how you finish one.
Ooh, shit. All right, pause.
Ooh, my fault. I would have failed a Breakfast Club interview, my fault.
Oh God. This nigga about to get us. Shit, we ain't never gonna be successful. First of all, I just want to thank God. And he go, hell nah.
Don't even put it on us like that. Look, the opinions of this particular co-host do not reflect the opinions of this podcast.
That's crazy. But yeah, nah. And by the way, man, shout out to the Muslims. I fuck with y'all. Tough. I fuck with everybody tough. But you know, some people just be assholes with whatever their proclivity is, and you know, it's not always the best light.
No, in fact, it's honestly, most of the time, that is a red flag when people are, you know, kind of make their proclivities somebody else's problem. So look, if you see somebody coming towards you, telling you about everything that religion, you know, every aspect of the religion that they need you to adhere to, and all the ways that you're wrong, and you about to go to hell, and you sinning, and all that kind of stuff, you might be seeing a red flag. But at the same time, if you corner your dad in the middle of a poorly lit forest in front of a white camera crew in the middle of goddamn nowhere, just so you can berate him about your childhood, could be you just waving a red flag.
Maybe. But then could again,
but
could also be your daddy.
It could look, yeah. Flag. But yeah. At the same time, you know what I'm saying? If you see your son coming towards you with a camera crew that you, after you haven't talked to him in fucking decades, it actually might be you just waving the red flag. So
you might be seeing one. You might be, it might be red flags throughout that bitch. God damn it.
Oh, yeah.
You waving the red flag. You got a job here, but you just hit a date, nigga. You waving the red flag because you part of this shit.
Craft services, come over here. You waving a red flag.
Everybody gets a red flag.
So look, if y'all want to watch our lives, if you want to get our bonus content, then just join as a member. We've got multiple ways for you to do that. You can join on Patreon, YouTube, or Spotify. Cop the card game. It's still on sale right now. Grab that for your next dinner party, your next hangout. You know what I'm saying? Just you and the friends. The link is in the description. shop.wavingtheredflag.com. Like, subscribe, comment. Let us know what you think about the episode. And of course, as always, we'll see you next week. Much love.
Yeah, much love indeed. Oh yeah, remember to turn on that notification bell. You definitely want to have that turned on because you gotta never know.
We drop. Yeah. And sometimes we drop early. You know what I mean?
Sometimes we drop early, but also so you can join the lives. You gotta have that notification turned on, baby.
Yep.
It'd be a good time.
9 p.m. every
EST. Saturday.
Saturday. Yep.
Yeah.
There we go.
Eastern time, 9 p.m. That's the new official.
Not
time
Mountain Time. Don't show up at Mountain Time 9 o'clock. You're gonna miss the whole shit.
6 all p.m. right. PST, 7 p.m. MT, 8 p.m. Central. God damn it, you know. We'll see you next
time. Alaska time. We don't know which y'all are on, but you know.
It's a red flag.